Blog Talk Radio.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time. I'll explain.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time, and I'll explain. They help downtrodden people when the storm clouds bring the rain. They bring relief and rescue no matter what the price. They take your hand, they understand. They bring the love of Jesus Christ. They come along beside you, they understand your grief. For the Lord himself comes with them as their commander-in-chief. They stand with you and beside you in your storm's darkest night. They bring you hope amidst the ruin. Such are these men called knights. And they will stay right with you till the sun brightens the sky, so you can live because they give.
Beneath God's wide, wide sky.
Are these men who appear in tuxedos once in a while, but most of the time are in street clothes, giving aid and comfort to people in need? Find out this Friday and every Friday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as Deeper Truth presents These Men Called Knights, an in-depth examination of the Knights of Columbus and their role in the church. Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, and Bruce Willis, Grand Knight in the St. John Paul Council in Olathe, Kansas, answer your questions about this unique group of Catholic men and their role in the church. That's Friday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, for These Men Called Knights, a Deeper Truth original.
Hi, this is Bruce. Thanks for allowing me on your show today. Don, are you there? I cannot hear you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
I can hear
I'm
you
here.
Now, Don.
Oh, man. Was I down? Was I gone? Wow.
Greg and I could not hear a thing, so. Whatever you asked,
okay.
You might need to ask again.
Okay. All right. Well, okay, that's fine. But I got news, and I didn't realize. I did. I muted myself before, so I'm sorry. So I looked
okay.
Here, and I thought, I lost both of you. All right, well, anyway, just to let you know, as of today, my PSA, I am cancer-free. I am cancer-free, so
amen.
That is. I found out that today. I am cancer-free, so my cancer is in remission. My cancer was 0.04, so that's excellent. And so,
wow, congratulations!
I apologize, and I got well, man, I'm so excited about that. And Bruce, I got Greg here with me. Greg, how are you doing? I lost you for a second there too.
Well, it was more than 1 second, but it was long enough that some good things happened. So we'll talk about that as we go forward. But I want you to know, first thing I know that was probably happening after that last statement of yours, Donald, is the saints were cheering that you were cancer-free, and the demons were booing you. They were booing the outcome there.
Oh wow! Wow, that's amazing. Well,
anyway.
this is. Oh wow, that's awesome. Well, since you guys neither one of nobody heard this, so I just wanted to share this, and it will take a second. So basically, we know that the Knights of Columbus was founded by Michael J. McGivney in 1882 at St. Mary's Parish in New Haven, Connecticut, with the mission of charity, the four principles of charity, unity, fraternity, and patriotism. And right now, like 14,000 councils and nearly 210 councils on college campuses. And what they do is they foster pride in Catholic and American heritage and establish the standards of behavior for Catholic gentlemen. So that's huge. And following the Mexican Revolution, the government began persecuting the church. The government began persecuting the church there in Mexico. The anti-clerical statutes were inserted. In their constitution, beginning a 10-year persecution of Catholics, resulting in thousands of Catholics in martyrdoms, including priests who were also Knights of Columbus. Now, you may not have known that. And so because of the religious and ethnic discrimination, Catholics in the 19th century were excluded from labor unions. So papal encyclicals issued by the Holy See prohibited Catholics from Freemasonry, and Father McGivney intended to create an alternative organization. He also believed that Catholicism and fraternalism were compatible with what he wanted. And so taking the name of the Catholic of Columbus was partially intended as a mild rebuke to Anglo-Saxon Protestant leaders. The Knights expressed their belief Catholics could be full members of American society. Of the first 28 members of the first council, 16 were born in Ireland. Protestant groups gathered at St. Augustine's Catholic Church, located on 4th Street between Vine and New Street. City troops were stationed by the church, and Mayor John Moran pleaded for calm, but the rioters threw stones at the mayor, ignored the troops, and burned down the church, cheering when the steeple fell. In 1844, and that date is important, 1844, the Protestants burned Catholic churches in the name of religious liberty. Political anti-Catholicism gained new adherents in the 1830s that culminated in violence. Each November, colonists celebrated Pope's Day by lighting bonfires, firing cannons, marching effigies of the pontiff through the streets to celebrate their common Protestant identity. Now, colonial governments outlawed Catholic priests, threatening them with life imprisonment or death. Some limited office holding to Protestants, most commonly assigned the King James Bible in public schools. So in 1840, a popular Protestant pastor warned it is a startling truth that religious liberty cannot flourish on the same soil with the Catholic Church. Such beliefs led anti-Catholics to attack Catholic institutions as alien intruders. In August 1834, a mob burned down an Ursuline convent in Clarkstown, Massachusetts, believing they were protecting American liberty. And so why is this important? Because in 1882, when Father McGivney was finding the Knights of Columbus, tensions, it was very difficult for Catholics, and he was trying to help the Catholic people, families and with work and all. I mean, there's a whole lot of things there. And there's a reason why I'm bringing this in, because as important as the Knights of Columbus was in our integrating into our society and defending our values in our society and defending the freedom for Catholics, well, now we have a new threat coming down on the horizon. The FBI, being exposed as an American KGB. On February 13, 2023, my wife Gigi and I were watching Newsmax when a story concerning an FBI internal memo had been leaked by Kyle Serafin, a former FBI special agent who also is Catholic and federal whistleblower, that is targeting Catholic ideology, stating Catholicism will be targeted the next 12 to 24 months, increasing before the next general election 2024. So this memo expresses the hope that the FBI will be creating new opportunities for migration concerning many Catholic immigrants. And so the field office based in Richmond, Virginia, the memo originating from Washington, D.C., the memo expressed the exercise against radical traditional Catholics, calling Catholics an extremist threat on social programs. Further, the memo expressed racially motivated or ethnically traditional Catholics, far-right national movement. And so they say the traditional Catholics adhere to anti-Semitism, anti-immigrants, anti-LGBT, white supremacy groups, preferring the traditional Latin Mass. They disdain popes since the Second Vatican Council. The FBI, according to the memo, seeks to plant government officials, and this is where the Knights, I think, is so important here, seeks to plant government officials to infiltrate Catholic parishioners to have liberal members to rat out faithful Catholics who adhere to the teachings of the Church. The memo comes from an intelligence project where this was resourced and vetted by the Chief Division Council, whose duty is to call balls and strikes, what authorizes the FBI on what to act. And someone high up in this organization from the Richmond field office is approving this memo. And this memo seeks to sponsor government officials to infiltrate the Catholic Church to target members for their religious beliefs. Another group behind this effort comes from the Southern Poverty Law Center, a left-leaning group-based organization who milked Northern liberals promoting abortion rights. And they supported the DOJ and the FBI to investigate parents as a violent hate group. So you see this. I mean, just think about that. The government infiltrating the church to suppress conservative speech or conservatives. And so that's why I think that the Knights are just as important today as we have been in the past. Definitely. And so, Bruce, what do you think about this?
I agree with you, Don, that there's a lot of hatred in the world, and the fact that the government is weaponized the IRS and the FBI, you know, against religious and parents, you know, wanting control to be able to have a say in their children's education is widely known. But if you think about where the Knights come from historically, you know, what we do now, the Knights, you know, are there providing for those that have been marginalized, for those that have been downtrodden, for those that are in poverty or widowed. Those are some of the people in the hungry that we help literally feed and literally clothe and house now. But when you look back along the timeline, the lineage is, that's exactly how the Knights started. Was hatred and bitterness toward immigrants, particularly the Irish, that allowed them, you know, that forced the Irish into menial jobs and prohibited them from home ownership, prohibited them from jobs, from really any opportunity. And because of that, it basically guaranteed the Irish a life of poverty in the Northeast. And so when the wage earner was injured or killed in one of these menial, highly dangerous jobs, or whatever it might have been, basically the family was left destitute. And so what Father McGivney saw and acted upon was to really create a band of brothers, an organization that wasn't just a membership, wasn't just a social group, but was actually a support group designed to build membership to support insurance policies for those widows. And if you look at how big the insurance program is today, the Knights of Columbus has one of the largest insurance programs out there, and they're still providing life insurance for Knights members that have passed away. So it's really an organization of necessity that has stayed because of necessity.
Amen. Well, what do you think about all this, Gregory? I know you've been to Russia and you've seen a lot.
Well, it's first of all, the you know, what you all both talked about, both will be able to speak to the reality of these things over the next few weeks, however long the show goes on, Donald. But it's historically, there's no doubt the church there was a campaign against the church. There's no doubt about it. And it goes back even further as far as those that were involved, which brings us to the communist influence right now in our church and around the world. And for us to know that historically, the ones who started the Bolshevik or financed the Bolshevik Revolution were also ones that the warrior popes and saints fought against was the Masons, you know, which they were having to fight the organization of Masons, you know, and Pope Leo XIII has several encyclicals, probably good for every Catholic man out there to read, you know, as he exposed the Masons and the communists in different encyclicals that he did, and was one of the longest running popes in the history of the country. But it was, there's so many, we've been very fortunate that of the influence of the Knights, you know, and we all know every entity that is brought forth to help the church, there's ones inside that entity that are human, just like even the apostles. You know, apostles had one of the apostles was Judas, and so in our humanity, yeah, we've got to be very careful and be willing to ferret out those that are not standing within what the church stands for. And the Knights, I've been a Knight, fourth degree and a third degree Knight for 50 years, and I've been a fourth degree for 30 years plus, and you know, I've seen all the good that Knights do, and I've also known of things that in all of our lives personally and all of our lives with everything out there by men, that there's times when, you know, that we're less than shining examples, but that's why the good Lord you know, is there for us to bring us back after repentance back into his fold. And the ones that stand their ground, that actually know, you know, that are actually blessed with scales off their eyes, know that groups like the Knights are so needed, even more today, you know, because of the evil that's out there. And it doesn't surprise me what you were talking about, things that they're doing to attack the Knights and traditional Catholics, because, you know, that's really the only entity, if you think about it in depth, it's the only entity that is, you know, part of the true church that is a pain in Satan's, you know, side. And so he wants to get rid of it however he can. And one way to do it is just to try to, by rhetoric and articles, try to down and show the, you know, reasoning behind the Knights not being, you know, patriots and different things like that, that they're going to continue that. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better, and we need to be praying that we have the strength of the Holy Spirit to stand our ground as Knights, so that they don't, you know, when we see these battles, we've got to be standing right with those that are willing to stand up, and you know, and be one of the leaders that say, not in this country, not under my watch, it's not going to happen, you know, because they're attacking the Knights. There's no doubt about it.
I've always seen that the Knights of Columbus was like the strong right arm of the church. Have you always thought that too, Bruce? Bruce, you there?
I agree with you.
There?
I think, sorry, I had you on mute. Too bad we don't have video. You guys could have tried to read lips. So I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you. The Knights aren't there just for themselves and the local parishes. The money that the Knights raise, the efforts, the food they garner, the housing that we provide for others, shelter, all those that we help aren't just those within our parish. I mean, they're in other dioceses, they're in other districts, they're in other cities and states, other countries. So really that the help is really, really broad. And it's very much akin to the spirit of Columbus, who was our patron, but he was an explorer. It's somebody that really went out on a limb, risked life and limb and fortune to find and explore and find new routes and new ways of doing things. And pretty much every chapter in just about every parish, the Knights are the ones that take that leap, you know, and build the church funds, get organized, you know, help the local community, not just in disaster, but ongoing support for seminarians and nonprofits, both Catholic and non-Catholic, the hungry, the homeless. So yeah, the Knights are definitely more than just the right arm of the church. They usually do follow direction, you know, of the parish priest, but we keep going, and we have an agenda that we need to implement, which is more than just the patriotism, the unity, and the fraternity. We're really all about charity, and that's the way it started, and that's where we are today.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a prayer request for tonight as we go forward here, because the reason I got all fault was silent there. I went in to talk to another person to find out if he was a knight, and he is. And so I've got him. I have him booked for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 events right now. And
wow.
I had called him to make sure in my mind that he was a knight. You know, he's a convert. He was a police officer in Austin, Texas, and then he was a singer, a professional, world class singer, for 12 years in the largest place in Atlanta. And then for the last 10 years had been a God family country song for adults down in Branson, Missouri. Okay, and so I know y'all are familiar with Branson, maybe not as familiar with Atlanta, but they had a large venue where they had him be a part of it for like 12 years. And I spent 4 hours with him, vetting him.
Wow.
Okay. And yeah, it was just a little over 4 hours. In fact, the priest came over and said, "I didn't know y'all were here." And talked to the priest for a few minutes, and just told Father, I said, we just needed a place where it was going to be quiet and just could talk unhindered, you know, but anyway, the first 20 minutes, which I think is one that we need to teach even more in our Catholic faith, and especially the knights, because of what it does in God's eyes. And it was the most powerful virtue in creation, in the universe, was Our Lady's humility. And the good Lord will use the humble and turn away the proud, for sure. So I think we have to be constant in trying to make sure that our brother knights understand that. Doesn't stop you from doing anything that we're doing. It's just that we need to be seen with that, even in our strength. You know, the humility is an aspect of who we are. And which you know, when it talks about the meek in Scripture, it's not talking about somebody that's weak or effeminate or anything. It's just talking about those that can stand the ground that the good Lord has already taken, and just lift up the cross, and so that all men can have an opportunity to be saved. But anyway, this gentleman, in fact, right now, he hadn't got it done, but he's real soon to have it done, because he's got his producer working on it. But I told him, I said, one of the things you're going to have, Alan, is a very, you know, if you're going to come into speaking in the Catholic Church, is a very strong, the influence you have because of the gift you have. You know, he was just finishing up his five first Saturdays, and he just finished the consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So he and his wife are, you know, of course his wife was the reason he converted. You know, I would say it. Good Lord got a hold of him because his wife was Catholic. But he's become he's got one of those talents that, like I told him, that can touch a lot of people, because all of us have different talents. And, but I took the first 20 minutes of that 4 hours and just talked to him about, because of all the accolades you have had, Alan, it would be easy to have a pride aspect of things, you know. And I said, you're not the first one, but I said, the good Lord has put me in the path of another national warrior. And I told him, I said, the reason the good Lord put me here was to keep you humble. And I say that when we hear that word, sometimes we think that it implies weakness, and it's just definitely the opposite of that. It gives us the strength to do what the good Lord said, you know. It gives us a strength that we don't have in our human flesh, because our flesh would normally lean toward pride and, you know, et cetera. And we're not talking about the pride that, when I'm saying this, not the pride that Paul talked about, was, you know, always speaking about Christ crucified, right? So he always boasted in Christ himself. And that's our only strength, you know, it comes from Christ. It doesn't come from our flesh. It comes from Christ that gives us that strength. You think that these martyrs that happened during the wars that the knights supported down in Mexico, you know, the priests and different ones that were able to stand up there and be shot, you know, didn't run and hide or anything. They stood up for what was right. And, you know, I think we all need to help each other stay strong in our walk, you know, just as St. Catherine of Siena and St. Augustine, all the different ones that St. Paul, St. John the Baptist, all that were the ones that were, you know, those last two, the ones that their heads were cut off for telling the truth.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Lord was crucified for telling the truth. So he's our leader into the nights, and why we have the strength that we have, as long as we bridle that strength in the way the good Lord would want us to have it. Not so much in the flesh, as in the willingness to stand where other people don't. You know, Pope Leo XIII, he said, one of the things he said that really got me, and I think is a call for knights, is Catholics were born for combat. That's what he said. So the church militant, the knights that are here, were born for combat, to be able to stand against those things that Satan is throwing at us. And it's getting worse. You know, we're seeing it under our own watch, where things are getting worse as far as the satanic influence across this country. And, you know, knights are going to have to, one of the things that phrases that I've used for years, and that's, we're going to have to get past the rhetoric. And, you know, because that's what happened with our first pope, St. Peter. He was a talker. I'll die for you. I'll go to jail for you. You know, and the good Lord said, son, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows, you know. And so that's where we are in our own human strength. We will deny Christ, you know, and we will turn our neighbors in if we're in the flesh. So it's only, we have to pray daily that we're not sifted by Satan, like Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane to the apostles that were falling asleep, you know, to be awake so that we're not sifted by Satan. And that's what I look at the knights, and one of the reasons that I, just so you know why, I joined the knights, because I knew the knights were defenders of the church, defenders of Our Lady, and just trying to glorify in their efforts, glorify the good Lord, you know. And so I said, how can it get any better than that for a knight that actually believes that and will stand their ground for what's right in God's eyes, not ours, but what God wants us to do. Anyway, I'm one of those loyal knights, but I'll call them out when there's something that we need to call out, just out of respect and love. If we don't tell each other, if I knew, Donald, that that you or Bruce was in, let's say, adultery, and I know it, and I don't say something to you, and you could possibly go to hell with that on your soul, and I don't say something to you, how much do I really love you? How much do I really care about you and those that are in your family? If I don't speak to it at least and give that person an opportunity to come back fully to being a practicing knight. Aren't we supposed to do that as a practicing knight to defend what God said to do? You know? And
well, yeah.
And our mama.
Iron sharpens iron.
We had this conversation last week on the show where we talked about most people know the knights performing corporal works of mercy, you know, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing, housing, you know, providing for others. But we also act on the spiritual acts of mercy. And as you said, Dr. Thompson, admonishing the sinner is just as important, not just to keep society in order, but to prevent that soul from diversion away from, you know, from salvation.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Well, this person, this knight I just talked to tonight, and I want you all to remember him because I'm going to try to, I think he would be a good one to bring into one of your events over there. His name in that they gave him stage name is Alan Edwards, okay? His given name is Edward Alan Rowe, R-O-E, I think R-O-E, I believe, or R-O-W. I'll have to look that up. But he used the name as a police officer of Edward Alan Rowe, and then the person that was helping Elvis Presley had asked him to change his name to a stage name to Alan Rowe, you know, or not Alan Rowe, Alan Edwards, okay? And so when he would sing, he would use Alan Edwards, and when he was police officer, he'd use his given name. But just so you know, because he does and right now, say a prayer for this, right now he's doing he's putting together, you know, because I told him coming in now totally what he's done. I said, you've done some great things with your program when you were down in Branson, you know, God, Family, and Country. And I said, bringing it into the church. Right now he's working on, he's got an album already, but I said, one that would be beautiful opening to a lot of events that you do in a Catholic church is Hail Mary, Gentle Woman. And so he's got his producer. They will soon have that finished, he said, doing Hail Mary, Gentle Woman. And just awesome how God can use people's different talents. And there you've got another knight, both of you gentlemen that I know are warriors for knights and for the faith, that in different circumstances on a pretty regular basis could bring him in, even if it's for 15 minutes to an hour, you know, at times to give a strong spirit for the knights, for their families, and everything that we do. So just remember that for the future, and I can make that connection for you if there's a desire for that in the future. And hopefully, just to know a couple of events right now, we're getting ready to do on the Feast of the Assumption, Annunciation, on the Feast of Annunciation on March 25th, we will have a Marian conference in Springfield. It'll be four priests. I don't know if all four of them, but I'm pretty sure that it would be that they are. I know at least three of them are, but I think all four of them are knights. Let's see here. One, two, then the three other speakers down there are also knights, but the knights will lead the procession at 7 o'clock in the morning on March 25th there in Springfield. They'll do a Eucharistic Marian procession with the good Lord present hopefully all a good group of people down in Springfield that will let the general public see the good Lord walking with knights, fourth degree knights and priests and others for a procession before the conference starts at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then the knights also for that event and the one coming up in the Kansas City Diocese. And I hope you all can come over there to the one in Kansas City Diocese in June, which is going to be on the Feast of the Sacred Heart on June 16th and the Feast of the Immaculate Heart on the 17th. And then we'll have a third day when we'll have one of the fathers of the Immaculate Conception out in Stockbridge, where the Divine Mercy is. Right now he's the acting provincial general of that order, Father Chris Alar, on the 18th. And, in another... In both places, the singer will be a knight, and I think pretty much all the main people. But I need a prayer, if you would, remember this name, Father William, because he has, I know him to be one of the warriors for the faith and for the knights, because he's held out a couple of people from, because he, you know, he's been like the chaplain wherever he went for the knights, and he had him upset with him in one of the places he went, because one of the people running for office was a Mason, and another person running for office in that same council was one that was not a practicing Catholic as far as going to church on a weekly basis. And he told them, basically, they're not held out, but he said, you all need to step away from that until you become fully Catholic, you know, basically, that you're not suspended. Just you got to be stay out of the knights until you are fully a knight, a practicing knight, Catholic. And, until that happens. So sometimes if you're speaking the truth, you're not going to have people always happy with you, but he's a warrior. Pray for him, because I got him coming to a couple of events that the people need to hear him. There's a little pressure against him because he will speak the truth. And it's what we need so much, especially in today's times. And I tell people, I said, too much cotton candy. You can diet too much cotton candy, just like anything else. So I said, we need warriors that are willing to speak the truth. And in doing that, you step on toes sometimes, you know. And pray for his name, just Father William. I'll let you know that aspect of it right now. Pray for him that when I meet with the different I guess the ones that okay speakers for events, the Chancery. I speak with Chancery on Monday, and I know that's going to be the main issue. But pray that and that there's you know, Knights and Father McGivney and those that are soon to be saints will step in there and pray for Father William, because I can tell you right now, so that you know how serious I am about him and why we can't let those that want to step on Knights, if you're willing to speak the truth, you know, I would allow him. I have 20 grandchildren, 5 daughters and 20 grandchildren. I would allow him in my heart to, if something ever happened to me, that he would watch over my children to get to heaven. I mean, that's how much I, I feel that way about different ones that good Lord's put in my path that I've gotten to know. You know, and right now I know where Donald's heart is on that. I know, and I'm starting to know my brother Bruce a lot better, and I know we're going to get to know each other a lot better for sure, that we can trust that we have ones around us that could watch over our families if something happened to us. You know, just, and I'm talking spiritually more than anything, just spiritually watch over them, that the world with everything that's going on in the culture does not take our children into or anyone that we love that have been put in our path. And it's talking about yours too, that they're not sifted by Satan, you know, because even St. Paul talked about it. You know, he knew that in his flesh that he could be taken down, so he was praying, just like the doctors of the church were savvy enough in the wisdom that they were given and the scales off their eyes, that every day, not in a morbid way, they thought this could be my last day. Just while we're talking, it could be our last time we're talking together. And so they, what their heart was because of that, do all we can for the good Lord today, because I may not be here tomorrow. I may be face to face with the good Lord tomorrow. So I love my brother Donald and my brother Bruce enough to speak those things, and that we support each other in our walk to eternity, because it could start today. It could start before morning, you know. Anyway, love you guys, and thanks for all you do, guys. And I'm sorry for talking so much there. God bless you.
Oh, no, you're good. You're okay, Greg. And thanks for the info as far as what's going on. And so, Bruce, what you got to think? What you got with all this?
I can't tell you how good it feels to know that we, you know, we have brothers and friends that are willing to speak to each other like that. And as men, you know, it's we're not really brought up that way in our early boyhood, you know. So to hear other brothers and men talk so favorably and supportive of each other really is an excellent example of what Jesus intends for all of us. So I want to thank you, Dr. Thompson, for those kind words, and Don, for your friendship and the progress that you've helped so many in our community. I'm glad to be a part of this brotherhood of men they call Knights.
Amen. Amen.
And that is cool. That's what all this is about. It's a team effort. And so regardless of what we're doing, This is a team effort, and what we're doing here, this is doing well. This is doing great, and I'm so thankful to be a part of this. And these men, they call Knights Volume, well, I should say Volume 3, because this is the third show. And so That to me, this is so important. And what we were talking about earlier, I mean, that's scary if the government is seeking to infiltrate parishes, putting government people in there to undermine our faith. That is a very serious problem, and I am calling on the House of Representatives to look into this. This needs to be put a stop. We need to put a stop to that. Really do.
Amen.
And the Knights of Columbus can be an they cannot penetrate us, you know, not if we're faithful. And so we just have to be, we have to understand what's going on. And that's a sad thing. But I know Bruce and you, Greg, you two, they would have a hard time getting you to rat out on anybody, you know? Oh, gosh. Unbelievable. On them being a Catholic faithful to the teaching of the church. So that makes you kind of wonder, you know, can we trust everybody in the parish? You know, watch what you say to people. If you're talking about anything that, gosh, I mean, you know, that's their objective. Is to cause
There's no doubt that Jesus gave us example and he set before us examples that there's a Judas amongst all of us. But there's reward in being faithful.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you have to keep your eyes on, you know, not the backstabbers, but the needs of God's other children, and he'll help you find a way.
Yeah, what you said there is so important, Bruce, because Satan's a professional at propaganda and distraction and trapping, and especially focused on the Catholic Church, and the Knights being a great aspect of that, but that we need to keep our focus on the things that are of Christ, because Satan will try to distract us, and he is doing that very successfully in the propaganda that's put out there by those that, let's call them dupes of Satan, that are part of his articulation to the population, you know, hearing the snippets here and there about, you know, you got to watch out for these guys, you know, type attitude, and trying to point at those that are willing to stand and as a bad example. That's what Satan wants to try to get in your mind, you know, that, you know, we've got to not be distracted by him and stay the course and stay on what did Mary say at the wedding of at Cana? What was her words?
Do
that were so memorable?
As he tells you.
Do whatever he tells you. And so that's one of our battle cries, you know, as knights. Do whatever he tells you, you know, and Satan's going to be trying to be a light, you know, look like he's doing something for Christ, so to speak. And we have to be very discerning on those things, you know, what's the outcome? What is the reasoning behind anything that would try to, because the communists were very good at it. They were atheistic, and they were very good at even telling Catholics, we're all in this together. We're for the poor. We're, you know, and those things that like that, that a person would say, yeah, that's what we're about. And as soon as they get in power, you know, the Catholics and the Catholic priests be some of the first that they would either kill or put in gulags, you know, because they don't want any that are embracing the King of Kings and
and the leadership of Mary and the grace given to her by God himself, they don't want that, you know. So they constantly, in different ways, you know, what are they doing now? What group are they using a lot on now, right now, besides Planned Parenthood? They use the Southern law firm or whatever it is. I know you
yeah,
know
in fact,
what it,
I just mentioned that. I mentioned that
yeah.
earlier.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what they're doing.
And they have attorneys because, you know, our people have tried to be patriots that live by law. But when your law is corrupted by those that are not with the intent to do good, but with the intent to do harm, we have to be able to discern and stand against that for sure. You know, so anyway, bless you all.
Don, thank you for having me on the show again this week.
Oh, it's wonderful. That's wonderful. I mean, our history is fantastic because what I wanted to show is that despite the fact that, you know, back in the early part of our, you know, there were like 1,500 Catholics in the United States. In the 1930s and 40s, we had an explosion of immigrants, mainly from Irish and from Europe, that came in. We ended up having nearly 10 million in a very short period of time. And that's why there was such violence that I was speaking of earlier, you know, in Philadelphia, you know, these people who were trying to make this a Protestant nation, and it was bad. And so when Father McGivney was founding the Catholic Church, you know, the Knights of Columbus, there were real issues that he was trying to resolve from within to help Catholic families. And so the Knights of Columbus is so important, and it will become very important with all this that's going on with what that memo was putting out. That's a threat to me. That is a serious threat, and we need to be aware of it. So, and I thank you, Greg, and I thank you, Bruce, for all that. And we'll present, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll, you know, that's what it is. And we are at that time, guys. Bruce, do you have any last thoughts about this before we close for tonight?
I'd like to thank you for your efforts. Helping to spread the word, even having a show like this where you could, you know, pique the interest of others, especially men that are looking for membership in something of value, something that could help them grow in their faith, where they could be proud to do things that are beneficial to society, where they're not criticized for the practice of Christianity, the practice of helping others, and not supporting woke idolization of whatever the trend happens to be that week. So I want to thank you for that. That's my final thought.
Thank you, Bruce. What about you, Greg?
Well, I'm just like a little kid in a candy store. I just feel so excited, you know, because how long we can go within our parishes and within society as a whole, as the culture is so rotten, and it doesn't seem like sometimes, you know, which is reality. It doesn't seem like those that should be leading the fray, that should be some of our leaders, are not standing up to things, and it's needed so bad. And I think, like Bruce just mentioned, we need that leadership from ones that that embrace the Catholic faith, the positive truth, given to us and are willing to stand, because it's so easy just to go along to get along in our society, you know, and you see it overwhelmingly in things. And as a result, when that vacuum is there, Satan will walk right into it to devour individuals and families, and that's going on, and we know it. And just to hear the willingness, because I think that at least for me, what was a major turning point when I was about 19 years old to join the Knights was that they're going to be Knights. You know, they're going to be Knights and to defend and stuff, to defend the innocent, to defend the teachings of the church and those different things. Our Lady just always very strong with me, and you know that, Mama, if you need a servant spiritual warrior, call me, type thing, you know. And so we've got that, and to hear your all's hearts in this just strengthens my resolve in so many ways, you know, that I'm inspired by it, and I pray that we just grow in what we've started here, and to how much it can do good for those that that want to do something in a very impacting way in a culture that is going down if we don't turn back to God. For sure, it's going down. So anyway, thank you guys for being my brothers.
Thank you, Greg.
And appreciate y'all so
Bruce.
Much.
Thank you. It takes people
right.
like you. It takes people like you. Hey, Columbus piloted the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria to, you know, to
Amen.
Take, you know, to take it to other
Fly.
Nations. And
there you go.
And that's what it takes is two or three to go by his name and to take it to the world. But the main thing is you're taking souls to a new world, and that's what feels good.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Well, I will end with this. And so God bless you, and we will talk at you later. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the
Amen.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And good night, guys.
Good night. God bless you. Bye.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruit. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious sky. Amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruiting plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and he crowned thy good with brotherhood, and see the shining sun.